your host, Jeff Ragavan, and welcome to the Alchemy Podcast, where we're on a quest to explore the intersection of cannabis, compliance, and creative in the marketing world today and beyond. Welcome back to another episode of Alchemy. We've got a great show today. We have two awesome guests, Matthew Nordgren, founder of Arcadian, and Christian Verrier, managing partner of Arcadian. Guys, it's really great to have you on the show.
Hey, glad to be here, Jeff.
Awesome. Well, guys, for everybody that's listening in right now, Arcadian is a leader in the cannabis venture space. They're headquartered out in Los Angeles. Matthew, I think we'll start with you. Talk a little bit, you know, about your background, because I think, you know, very interesting. You were a quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles. Go Birds. And, you know, talk to us a little bit about what made you really jump into the business world from being, you know, an athlete in the sports world.
Well, my career was as a backup quarterback, Jeff, and I'm not ashamed to admit that. Didn't see the field a whole lot, but it made me a great investor, quite frankly, because what ended up happening is I was on, fortunately, enough great teams to see what was the difference between a championship team and a really good team. And that tended to be sort of the unit all working together cohesively throughout or not. And, you know, what you notice as a backup quarterback is that there's only 11 guys on the field, but there's 52-man roster plus a whole lot of other people. And it really takes all of those people to perform at a really high level to win a championship. If it's just the 11 guys on the field, usually become a good team, but not a great team. And so and as an investor, sort of took that experience into supporting operating teams. And as an investor, as a growth investor especially, these teams already have a starting roster by the time we join. And the question then is, what can we provide to them outside capital that, you know, a quarterback on the sidelines can do to help make that extra benefit so that the team ends up being as successful as it can be? So, you know, it was a great experience. If you talk to all the guys that I play with, college and professional, they probably tell you they thought I was going to be a businessman before a quarterback anyways. So I feel like this was sort of my calling all along. And I think that team sport environment really added to the ethos of what we have at Arcadian. It's really an ecosystem, Jeff. It's everybody's adding value equally. Everybody takes what they deserve. And the platform keeps growing. You know, we're happy to be an investor of yours, happy to be a part of your team. Hopefully we can support you guys in this same mentality and in this spirit. But I think it made us a great investor, and cannabis industry was kind of, you know, in a perfect position for that experience that I had developed as a businessman. And I know Chris will probably say the same thing. His career in finance, you know, had us in a perfect position to manage and build a vehicle with our, you know, 20 years individually at the partnership level doing this in various ways. So it's that team spirit, Jeff. It's the experience that we were prepared for this moment. And quite frankly, I think we've done as good a job as anybody at building a ecosystem and a platform that's sort of ready for an institutional world that I think isn't too far out.
Awesome. I love it. So Christian, let's jump over to you. You've been at Arcadia now since 2018, and your focus is really leading the principal investing activities, focusing on deal sourcing, and of course, negotiation. So, you know, would love for you to talk to us a little bit about the growth of Arcadia the last couple of years and any, you know, trends or insights you can, you know, give us.
Yeah, so really the last 2 years has just been about making smart investments. We closed our first fund in May of 2018, and, you know, have been making investments since then. We've got 27 companies in our portfolio to date. Now, and I'm not just saying this, but I think really all of them have a really high probability of success, just measured by some positive ROI exit. We think that there's a handful that are going to be that are really going to be home runs here for us. And so I think that when you look at a venture portfolio and you expect that there's going to be some zeros, at this point I can't really say that any of our companies are destined to be zeros. Now, are there going to be challenges from now until exit? Of course, there already have been, and we've gotten through them. But, you know, we've made bets on companies that we believe are addressing the hardest problems for cannabis operators, and they're generally laser focused on what they're good at. So, you know, we're also looking for companies that work well in an ecosystem where we can add value by bringing our disparate portfolio companies together, where they work together and partner together and help each other grow. So, you know, what we've really been able to accomplish, I think, over the last couple of years is being able to gain a real handle on the entire supply chain without having to go in and touch the plant across a large number of companies. It's put us in a position now to, by making us a lot smarter, to go bigger with the companies that we've got a lot of a tremendous faith in, and those that are executing and have solid margin profiles.
So, you know, Matt, I'm curious, how did you and Christian meet?
Well, the stars just keep aligning, Jeff, is the answer. And we met at some of these conferences. Chris was working on a number of projects. He had come out of Cowen recently and had a, you know, tremendous skill set and background there. That really, if you think about cannabis, this is a wellness industry. It's a botanical wellness product. I think it's medicine in every aspect. And his background was perfect for what the industry needed. He was working on some projects, convinced him to join Arcadian in the early days. And we really balanced each other extremely well, given our backgrounds. But, you know, the partnership level continues to grow. We have some other partners we'd like to introduce at some point. And Chris and I are just fortunate for everybody that wants to be a part of it.
Fantastic. So I'm curious just to hear from you guys as far as the cannabis space in particular. You know, we've obviously been through a really tough start to Q2 with the global pandemic. And I think from a cannabis perspective, you know, there has just been such a laser focus on the industry just because, one, there's so many states out there that have deemed cannabis essential. So especially during a very difficult time for a lot of companies who are, you know, one, having revenue issues, and two, just strategically having a big issue as far as how they get product out there. Cannabis sales have been through the roof, you know, from the start. One, with the shelter at home in place, I think people were nervous that they weren't going to be able to get their products. And then two, you know, since they were able to get their products, it's been a continuous flow. And now we're looking at states where they're like, crap, we got to fill our coffers. Like, you know, we need to figure out if we legalize this because we need money. And so I feel like there's now this really massive swing going up now for the cannabis space. And I'm just curious, from your perspective, being on the venture side, have you seen an influx of, you know, cannabis technology companies that are looking for funding, or has it kind of stayed the same? I'm just curious by looking at trends.
Yeah, all those things result in something that a firm like us can relay that I think is really interesting, which is the appetite for institutional resources. And all those things you just discussed are making that conversation that we have to have with large asset allocators a lot different and much easier than it was before because the industry is doing so well. Now, you mentioned the sales. They certainly have been strong, but sometimes they are stronger than others. When it first started, you had pantry loading. You see stimulus checks hit and people spend, you know, things like 420. There have been a number of occasions throughout the pandemic that we saw tremendous sales. And then there are other times where you see, you know, sort of a flat line. But as compared to 90% of industries out there, having normal sales is a win. So, you know, in either scenario, I think the bigger picture is that what we now have is more of a grass tops campaign. You know, we've had this sort of grassroots campaign for a lot of years, and it did a lot to get us here. Now, you mentioned some things like tax revenue and job creation. These are things that the grass tops are compelled by, and I think you're going to see a movement from institutional resources to move into the space, which then allows managers to resource companies in a major way. So this is having a tremendous impact from our point of view. If you ask the portfolio companies, if you ask them what's the difference that they've been able to see, I think you'll see tremendous consumer behavior patterns developing in all sorts of categories. It's like during this time, people have explored things that they normally haven't in terms of delivery methods and purchasing habits. So that's exciting as well. All these factors, Jeff, lead us to believe that when we're able to have a conversation with the right folks at the policy level, with lobbying and legislative efforts, that it will be a conversation better than one we've ever had. That's the answer. And I know so many people that have fought for every piece of this industry over the years are so excited to be able to get on a plane, get in a car, and go take a meeting with people that can move the needle at the grass top level, because I think they're more armed, more compelled, and more excited than they've ever been.
Well, it's a nuanced question, I would say, or nuanced response. And I'd say that it's really evolved over the last 2 years. You know, when we started back in 2018, there's a lot of excitement in the public markets that were driving sentiment. And that's both in the Canadian markets and to a lesser extent the U.S. But, you know, that we largely now attribute to irrational exuberance. As a result, you had a lot of entrepreneurs during that time that were, you know, really trying to address pain points in the industry. Some were looking to make a big buck, but, you know, some of these pain points were real, some perceived, and they were trying to do it with technology. So in 2018 and early 2019, though, there were a lot more deals during that time, but, you know, a lot of noise as well that we had to kind of sift through. So since then, you know, a lot of entrepreneurs, let me take a step back. So a lot of entrepreneurs during that time were suggesting quick exits, a lot of them to Canadian public markets, you know, and perhaps there were a lot more people looking to do something in cannabis because of this. And again, you know, quick exit, making a quick buck. But the fact is that most of the companies that went public probably, you know, really shouldn't have done so. They weren't ready to go public. And that's kind of me as a former investment banker who did a lot of IPOs, is speaking to, you know, I worked with a lot of companies in the biotech space, and these are very early stage companies as well, but they were generally a lot more mature than a number of the companies in terms of you know, corporate governance and SOPs, etc. Compared to, you know, a lot of the companies in the cannabis industry when they went public. So that's kind of where that mindset's coming into play. But I think it's benefited us by staying away from a lot of the companies that were promising those quick exits to the public markets. Again, you know, we're in it for the long term. But, you know, for U.S. operators that went to the CSE, folks, I think, have figured out that Canada doesn't play by the same rules as the U.S. So, you know, while it makes it easier to go public in those markets, operating as a public company is not as easy. And if your stock price doesn't hold, it's going to be very difficult in the future to raise capital. So at the beginning of legalization, you know, there was a lot of optimism, is really high. But, you know, we at Arcadian didn't necessarily buy into a lot of that hype. We realized that there was and continues to be an incredible opportunity to invest in, but it's not like a field of dreams, so to speak, where if you build it, they will come. It's, you know, cannabis businesses at that time were very liberal when it came to spending on CapEx and marketing. And unfortunately, not really surprising to us, things didn't turn out as a lot of folks expected. Most of those companies were way off on forecast targets. So the repricing of the markets, though, starting around the second quarter of 2019, I think was really great for the industry. It exposed companies that were really bad businesses and operators, or at least weren't going to be able to live up to the hype of their market values. And you know, this has corollaries into the private markets as well. But you know, it really, during that phase, I think it really lifted the companies that were good opportunities and good good operators and good opportunities. And then when reality set in, I think a lot of folks started to find that they had difficulty raising money, whether in the private markets or in the public markets. So today we're still looking at a lot of deals, and we do get a lot of deal flow. But the quality of these companies are just a lot better than they were before. We've got a lot better management teams, you know, more mature, you know, and, you know, I think there were some earlier deals that were done at valuations that weren't the right entry point for us, but now are. So there's a mix of a lot of different things, but we are seeing still a lot of deals, and we are seeing, but we are seeing that it's more competitive. It's a, you know, a better landscape of companies to look at, and it's really, really promising for the future of this industry.
Absolutely. So let's talk a little bit about the virtual Benzinga Capital Conference, because I think you were speaking the other day virtually, yeah?
Yes.
So, you know, anything, obviously, I think the focus was probably on the pandemic and really how companies can pivot and change and adapt. Any tidbits coming out of there that you could share?
You really did get quite a few. You know, truly, for example, Kim Rivers has done a great job having a plan in place in advance to be prepared for this. Now, she's also in Florida, where hurricane planning is part of the protocol. So, you know, to that extent, was in a fortunate position. But they've been able to have a very strong organization throughout the pandemic because they were prepared. And so, you know, this pandemic has been detrimental to a lot of industries, but not as much to ours. The entrepreneurs in this space, as we listen at the Benzinga conference, you know, they've gone through public market value corrections and vape crises and you name it. It seems like every quarter there's something, and we keep absorbing that energy and becoming stronger as an industry. So that's really the biggest takeaway for us, is how battle tested and proven these entrepreneurs are, like you guys, you know, at Philo, to solve problems. And the good news is that the industry continues to move forward at a 35, 36 compound annual growth number. You know, that's very attractive in terms of real cash revenue right now. Asset creation, we're hearing from a lot of these companies, has increased as well. So those two scenarios are an underwriter's dream. I think the case is being made for a lot of these companies to raise real significant capital, and they are. So that was some of the takeaways. I think companies are angling to be running a more lean operation. The growth is there. The growth is there. You don't have to have 1,000% growth numbers. 35% is enough for everybody, and you have to value and structure yourself properly, but you got to run a lean operation and move forward the pace with which the industry allows naturally. Yeah. And so as they run lean, the result is a cash flow business. And we want to see cash flow positive businesses, but we want to see businesses that can sustain themselves and run lean. And I think those that survive this are going to be in a great position to thrive. We really believe that. And so on that call, we noticed a lot of companies, you know, preaching that, hey, we're lean. Hey, we're cash flow. Hey, here's our market. You know, we've really buttoned things up. And I think that's compelling for investors on the growth side.
Yeah, I think just kind of just speaking on the adaptation of tough times, you know, I think just even having folks on the show through the pandemic, like, it is amazing to see how people have adapted quickly. Like, I had, you know, Dennis O'Malley, who's the CEO of Caliva, you know, probably about a month ago on the show, and he was really talking about how they did curbside delivery first. And then, you know, you see how everybody starts rolling that out. And then yesterday, you know, I had Airfield Supply on, and they just rolled out like the largest, I think they're the largest single site dispensary, but they're doing 100% contactless payment with Trees. So, you know, it's like they're trying to adapt to this new era of how we, you know, sell and buy and how consumers can keep themselves safe. And I find it pretty amazing that, you know, people have really changed their business models fast to adapt. So I think
You know what's great about all that, Jeff? The demand is there. when you have consumers that have such high demand for the product, and it's just the early days in terms of the understanding of what various products are available for consumption, but they're finding that out right now. And it, when you have people that want something so much as a business, it's a little easier to pivot because you're not having to try to make a change and then figure out how to sell to somebody. You know, you're trying to fulfill demand, and increasingly the demand is becoming something that you know, is also increasing because it's new markets open up. And through the pandemic, all throughout California, you're starting to see new cities say, hey, we'll do this. And mm-hmm. and it's moving forward because the demand's there. So the businesses, they have to pivot, but they're pivoting to something that, you know, there's demand for and people want. And that's what's driving the industry, really, is the consumer.
So let's talk a little bit about you guys and, you know, really, one, your investment process, you know, and two, talk to us about some of your portfolio companies.
Our process is, it continues to define itself as we grow as a firm and add new funds and new SPVs and new strategies and partners, you know, but the process is one that we try to keep as an institutional process by way of the way we intake deal flow. We try to hear everybody in the space. We think it's really important, whether it's LinkedIn or email or through a friend. You know, we really try to listen and hear everybody's hard work. We like to see it in the form of a one pager to start. You know, we know the industry pretty well. If you're out there and listening to this, you know, some of the more sophisticated, experienced investors in the space have a pretty good idea maybe how your deal should be structured. So we're seeing a lot of companies present us with a one pager that says, hey, here's who we are, here's what we're doing, here's what's going on, what's your interest level. And that allows us to analyze it pretty quickly. And if it's a pass, provide some reasons why, some encouragement, particularly. If we take the deal on, it goes through a various levels. Chris and his team of analysts will provide some questions. We'll get those answers. If that goes well, we go to a call. After a first call, some more steps are taken. Ultimately, it gets to investment committee meeting where we make those decisions. So keeping that type of process at the early stages is really important as you grow and start managing bigger dollars and have more companies. That part is really important to us, Jeff. So thank you for asking. Yeah, so there's some things that, Jeff, that stick out to us right away in terms of where they are in their business cycle, how many rounds have been financed before we enter, can they indicate market share, whether it's local, regional, national. Those are things that are key indicators for us for Arcadian as a growth investor. But different investors have different mandates. Some investors want to see pre-IPO stuff or public stuff. Some investors want to see seed and angel stuff. So I think it's really important for companies out there listening to know that investors want to do business and the industry is doing great things, but try to present it very clearly and concisely to the investor so that they can understand if it's something that makes sense for them. And if not, you know, that gets you to move on quickly to the next investor and spend your time more efficiently. So that's a really important part of the process. And Jeff, I could tell you about our companies, as Chris mentioned, there's about 26 or 7 in the portfolio, about 8 or so that are in the Arcadian capital management business. So there's quite a few. And because institutionalization hasn't happened yet, I think the successes of these companies is yet to be written. I think if you look back 5-10 years from now, all the major success stories are not in the media today. So we're really just excited for everyone's growth. We're excited for their success. Philo in particular, you guys, it's just really, really exciting to learn some of the attention you're getting, quite frankly, from major players out there. And as an investor of yours, it's highly encouraging to know that you've been able to get the attention of these first class institutions. So, you know, we're pretty excited for everybody. It's hard to single anybody out. But again, I think the success will be determined in the future. And can't wait to see how this unfolds.
Awesome. Well, I got to tell you, it's you know, it's really great to be in the space, and you know, coming from the digital world for, you know, the last 20 years, and you know, building companies and selling them, this has truly been a pretty eye-opening experience, just because, you know, I kind of made the decision of like, I think it's time for me to get uncomfortable and learn something new. And the cannabis industry is just, it's so ripe for explosion on so many different levels. So it's been really fun. And, you know, we're solving so many important problems from a compliance perspective and from a data perspective, you know, for all these companies. So it's good stuff.
Yeah, I think you're solving more problems than technology is. Every time I get on a Zoom meeting or one of these things, there's some technological glitch. I don't know how we can't just have smooth online meetings. Can't wait to be back in person.
Oh, I know. It literally, I mean, you know, in the beginning it was tough, but when I still see it happening, it's like, I think we've signs now that we just hold up saying you're on mute instead of saying you're on mute.
Yeah.
It's a good time. So, you know, I appreciate all the insight and, you know, you guys are doing an amazing job and, you know, it's great to work with you guys. You know, how we do the show is, you know, we talk a little bit about work and business in the beginning, and then we just quickly kind of end things with some quick fire questions. Super easy.
Perfect. Are you ready? Fire away. We're ready to go. If we can't answer them by now, we haven't been paying enough attention over the years.
Right. All right, guys. First question. Most important advice you would give to your future children?
Pay attention, be present, because the answers are there. They really are. The answers are all around you. I think those that can be as present in every moment, hear them and understand them more, that'll ultimately drive a better decision-making process.
What's your kryptonite?
Oh, man. Success. You know, and that doesn't necessarily mean capital. It just means that you really want to wake up every day and feel those little wins with your partners, with your team, with your family, and your own personal life. You know, I think if we all could just try to just make sure every little win is something we can celebrate and move forward from. I don't know. That continues to be ours. We just you know, driven by success.
All right. Here's a good one. Trend you would like to see disappear forever?
I think there's a lot of them, but right now, you know, we're living crazy times and there's just so much disinformation that has increased over the last couple of years coming from all kinds of sources. I just wish that trend would just go away forever. We need to be transparent. We need to be truthful as a community and society to each other. And I'm looking forward to when that ends.
I agree with you 100%. All right, last question. What's something you wish you could be good at that you currently aren't?
I wish I could sing and dance.
Wait, me too, actually.
Me you too.
Not at all.
Chris, I got to hear your answer there.
I wish I could play football.
Oh. Well, I think somebody can help you. Right?
Jeff, what's yours?
I would say too, I wish I could play football also. And I wish I could dance and sing. So I'm in agreement with both of you.
Okay.
What I can do well is I'm a pretty hardcore sports fisherman. So,
okay.
I'm a hardcore saltwater guy.
So in a pandemic, you can still feed your family is what you're saying.
Oh, without a doubt. I live in East Hampton. So, and my boat is about, I don't know, 3.5 minutes away. Okay. So I had a ton of delicious fish during the pandemic. That's for sure.
Yeah. A lot of sailing, I would imagine, get your mind clear. Well, we're just really, really excited to spend some time with you guys today. It's the need for community is obviously at an all-time high, but for our industry in particular, information is key. Talking about these topics and communicating the right topics, you know, a lot of fake news out there in every part of the world, but what we need is the reality of what's going on, and we're giving people a better life, and being able to have a platform where you communicate that is the most important thing for our industry and probably for most people today.
I agree. Well, guys, listen, it was great to have you on. Again, Matthew Norgren, founder at Arcadian, and Christian Verrier, managing partner at Arcadian. Thank you, guys, and stay safe out there.
Likewise, Jeff. Appreciate it.
This episode of the Alchemy Podcast was brought to you by Philo. Thanks for tuning in. And if you enjoyed today's show, don't forget to subscribe and share.